11:25 here on Sports Radio 1340. The Fan, Rob Snyder filling in for Steve Dale today here on Jack Dale's Sports Line. Before we get to Zach Kennedy from 1560 The Game in Houston, want to remind you we've got the Boot City Pick'em for Week 9 this week. UCLA, Oregon, South Carolina, Missouri, Texas, TCU, Texas Tech, Oklahoma, and then number of receiving yards is the tiebreaker for this week. And also, if you call in today and get on the air before the show ends at 1 o'clock, we'll also enter you into our Texas Motor Speedway prize pack giveaway. But right now on the phone, from the Bayou City, former Williams and Hyatt show producer, Zach Kennedy. Hey, Zach, how are you today? We've got Brian Duncan here as well.
What's up, Zach?
Hey, Brian. Hey, Rob. What's going on, man?
Oh, not much, bud.
So, the Texans, as we start some NFL discussion here, probably the biggest disappointment in the league this year, wouldn't you have to say?
Well, unless you're a Jags fan, but then you're kind of expecting that to be a winless season down there. But, yeah, when there's aspirations where you're talking about a Super Bowl team and, you know, everybody's saying that for it to be a successful season, you have to at least make it to the AFC Championship game, I would say a 2-5 start would definitely be on the disappointing side.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And I guess some of the alarm bells went off with week one with the come from behind win at San Diego, the offense not moving too well for most of that game, and then woes again against Tennessee in week two, and they haven't looked good at all. I mean, the fact that Andre Johnson through seven games does not have a touchdown reception.
Yep. Yeah.
First of all, it's ticking me off because my fantasy football team is just drowning right now, and you know, you feel like they're going to pick it up one week, and then the next week they're just jack doobly squat. Then next week they okay. I mean, it's ticking me off. Golly, and no touchdown reception.
Yeah, I benched Johnson.
It's been a very Jekyll and Hyde team so far through the first few games of this season.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that's been very surprising as well is not just that, but defensively. I mean, J.J. Watt's been neutralized this year. They're double-teaming him. They're doing other things to get him away from the passer. He hasn't been able to adjust, and then the D-line as a whole hasn't adjusted to help him out either.
No, and that's the thing is, you know, and statistically the Texans are still ranked as the top-ranked defense in the league in terms of yards, but they're not creating the turnovers or they're stopping the points. I mean, they rank towards the bottom of the league in turnover differential as well as points allowed. So, I mean, they're good statistically, but if you can't stop the guys from getting in the end zone, they have one of the worst red zone defenses in the league, so they're not getting off the field on third downs and they're not stopping them and holding them to field goals when they get close to the end zone.
And that has a lot. I know that has a lot to do with the opponent's scheming because he said it perfectly with Watts just being double teamed and you know they're taking him out of the picture and if you don't have anybody on the other side to kind of balance that out, dude, you're gonna have an even longer year because you know if you only have one star on the defensive line that a team can scheme against, once a team say okay look we're about to pick him out, we're about to take him out of the equation because we have they have no one else on that line to do what he's capable of doing. Man, that's going to hurt your ball club. That's why they can't get off on third downs. That's why their red zone defense is horrible because they're taking away probably, I would say, the only best player on the defensive line. It hurts them. It hurts them big time when a team can scheme against one player and call it a day.
Well, I think you said it perfectly there, Brian. I mean, and you've got to get more production from your outside linebackers. I mean, your last year's first-round pick, Whitney Mercilus, you know, has pretty much been non-existent on the outside, and Bruce Reed hasn't, you know, lived up to his first year in the league either. So, I mean, both those guys need to give you more production, and now that you've lost, you know, not even arguably, but your second-best defensive player for the year, as well as your starting safety and Daniel Manning, I mean, some of these guys have got to pick up the slack, you know, and like you said, J.J. Watt's going to get double and triple team because they know how good he is, and they're not going to let one guy beat them. They're going to make somebody else do it.
And you said it. You said, look, dude, if I can hug you and kiss you on the forehead, I would right now. I mean, you said it. You said it perfectly, man. The guys that are behind that D line, and it's hard. You got to think about it. You know, if you don't have a D line that's performing, your linebackers are going to get ate up every single down, every single play. Your linebackers are going to get ate up, and that's what's happening. You know, rushing had to do more than he was, you know, I wouldn't say he's capable of doing, but just more because he had to make up for what's not happening on that front line. And you end up hurting yourself. You end up getting injured in situations like that. So I don't know what route they're going to take. I don't know what they're going to do. But as far as, you know, the linebackers and outside linebackers having to step up, they're going to have to. I mean, it's hard to when you don't have a defensive line, but I mean, something's going to have to happen to where you're going to, something's got to happen. Just something has to happen.
I mean, and they're struggling in depth in the linebacker position now with the loss of Cushing. I mean, they moved Justin Tuggle, an undrafted rookie, to back up Brooks Reed, but then they also just cut, you know, Willie Jefferson and their third round pick, Sam Montgomery, as well as Tim Dobbins. So, I mean, they've gotten rid of, granted, you know, Sam Montgomery, they had moved him over to defensive end because the outside linebacker, you know, experiment failed miserably. But you've also already cut two other linebackers. So in a matter of 7 days, you've lost three linebackers from your team. So they've got to go and find somebody, you know, that and one of the guys on the roster already got to step up. But they need to find somebody who can provide quality depth, which at this point, after 7 games in the season, who's really available? So
I'm waiting. I know I'm waiting.
Well, and that's one of the other things, too. That's been said is a point of failing with Bob McNair's ownership tenure of the Texans is the fact that he is so focused on having high character guys, and we've seen it again with the release of those three players, that whatever happened in that hotel room, which no one definitively knows right now other than them and the Texans, and no one's officially going to say, but with the rumors of them smoking pot or whatever and them being basically sent home that Saturday night like high school kids on a bad, you know, high school trip or something, I mean, it's one of those things. They could have maybe worked through it, suspended them or something, and then brought them back.
I mean, Brian, you could probably speak to this, you know, better than Rob and I could, but I honestly have no problem with the decision because these are two guys you're talking about are undrafted rookies trying to make their way in the NFL, and if they've got such little respect for themselves and their teammates that they're going to go and do something to put themselves in jeopardy, okay, yeah, maybe you're not active on the 53-man roster, but okay, there's perfect examples. Sierra Wood, you could be, you know, the number two running back on this team right now. I mean, they played that game against Kansas City basically without a running back. You know, Foster went out for, what, 5 carries? Tate got his ribs hurt in the second quarter. And then they're just left with Greg Jones as a fullback playing running back. So I don't really have a problem with them being dismissed if that's really what happened as they're sitting there. You know, I mean, obviously Willie Jefferson has had his issues being kicked out of Baylor for marijuana, so there's history here with some of these guys.
It's ridiculous. And if you're going to be – this is my thing. This is the professionals, okay? And you have to be that way every single day, day in, day out. You're on a different platform than everyone else. You're not on the same platform that I'm on. You know, we're not on the same platform that you're on. You're held to a higher standard in everything you do, the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you pick your nose on game day. You're held to a different standard. And if these guys don't understand it, they need to be kicked off the team. They're not professionals, you know. You have to play in a way, or you have to carry yourself in a way that I'm the next man up. I have to put myself in position that somebody's going to go to the NFL every single, I guarantee you, every single weekend, somebody is going down. And it's not, hey, let's work with it and see what we got. No, it's the next man is up. The next guy is up. Who do we have next? And that's how you have to carry yourself. So if they want to do something like that, dude, I'm all for it. Mike Leach, let me tell you what Leach did back in our day. We're in the bowl game, and he said, hey, dude, you screw up, you're gone. I mean, he was zero tolerance type guy. And we had guys that missed curfew, and it was some of our top players, you know, and you're figuring, hey, you know, well, since they start and blah, 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 you know, and they're producing, and if we don't play them, we may lose the game here and there. Mike Leach did not care. He did not care. If you're going to mess up, if you miss curfew, if you want to do something outside the rules of the team, you're gone. And he shipped, I believe, 2 to 3 guys back home that same night. He said it because, you know, they wanted to push some buttons. So I'm all for it. I mean, it's going to be the next guy. Somebody's going to be able to come in and take their place. There's tons of guys that's trying to get into the NFL right now.
Hey, well, Vince Young would kiss you on the forehead if he could right now because he's trying to be that next guy up. You know, he's sitting there trolling all the other NFL teams, sending out tweets and everything, trying to get a job or a tryout somewhere.
Yeah, I saw him in the airport one time. He had all his Texas gear on. I'm thinking he's going back to college, man. He's trying to get on some teams. But yeah, that's the type of will and drive you got to have, man. Not these crazy people.
No, like you say, crazy professional. People. I mean, what other industry? I mean, professional athletes, most of the time, people are willing to turn a blind eye for little things like this. I mean, if you're going to be smart about it, you know, light up your little joint at your house with your buddies, you know, and just don't be so blatantly dumb about it to do it in the team hotel where, I mean, you know, obviously it's all reports and hypotheticals right now, but I mean, they're saying, you know, you're walking down the hall and you can smell it, you know, 10 doors down. So, yeah. I mean, you got to be smart and just be a professional, like you said, Brian.
Well, I do have to say, if that was truly the case where it was that blatant, smelling it 10 doors down, okay. I mean, that's, from the original version I read, it was, you know, they were pretty much in a room together and everything like that. But if it's that blatant, then yeah, I mean,
heck yeah. I mean, my dad was a cop. I know how it smells. I know how it lingers.
Yeah,
it's
quite a pungent stench, yes, Brian, as you're saying right now.
Absolutely, man. You can light that thing up and then take it out and you'll still smell it as if you smoked it the whole entire time. I mean, that stuff has some strong smell. You're dumb if you're going to do it in somebody else's hotel.
Yeah.
Dumb.
Yeah, but it'll be interesting to see where they go roster-wise, if they, you know, that experiment of talking about maybe moving Brooks Reed to the inside now that you only have Joe Mays and Daryl Sharpton, but then you go back to who's going to step up on the outside in Reed's place now that you're short in that position as well. So,
you know what?
Interesting.
Here's the deal, and this is, I'm going to go ahead and just go ahead and do it. I'm going to go ahead and get back in shape. You know, I'm working on it right now, and, you know, all of this crazy unprofessional guys in the league, you know, that's just losing jobs here and there, and then people getting hurt. I'm just gonna have to step up. Look,
come try out.
Yeah, I'm gonna just come.
I got a couch with your name on it, Brian. Thank, place for you to lay your head for a few days.
Thank you, sir. I'm gonna need that. You got it. If you got a little gas money, I'll help you out a little bit. I can do it, man. I can make it on a few dollars of gas.
Yeah, as long as you don't drive a big F-150 like I do, and cost you $100 to fill up, we might be able to weasel something for you there.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
What's been the reaction this week on Case Keenum with the bye coming up and then Kubiak immediately saying that he's planning on Schaub starting next week? I mean, is it more smoke and mirrors from Kubiak or does it look like Keenum might be one and done?
Well, I think Keenum played very well under the circumstances.
Yes.
I mean, they split snaps, TJ and he did, leading up to that game. Kansas City's undefeated. Their stadium just broke the loudest record for noise in the world. So, you know, it's a hostile environment. And they, like we talked about earlier, he basically played without a running back for the second half of that game.
Yeah.
So I think he performed very well for them to lose by one point. I thought Kubiak was a little conservative in his second half play calling. And his decisions on some of the play calling was a little mind-boggling, if you will. I mean, they kept overloading one side of the line and blitzing. Well, bring in, you know, Greg Jones or do a quick read or something, get the ball out of Case's hands. I mean, they did it a couple times and never seemed to react. But as far as Kubiak's comments on Schaub, I think it's more smoke and mirrors, saying Schaub's their starting quarterback. You know, where do they go from here? I mean, if he's not healthy, I think he's just kind of leaving himself out. I think Case is going to get most of the snaps this week through the bye. They're going to see if Schaub's healthy, but I think ultimately Case starts the next game against the Colts.
Now answer this question for me because I'm not sure. Was Case the third guy?
He was a third string guy, and
he
jumped TJ Yates because Kubiak wanted to try and give a spark to the team.
Okay, so here's the deal on that, and as far as Case, I mean, just like you said, and you said it perfectly, he performed well under the circumstances. I have to give it to the guy, and that's what you have to do, especially being the third guy on the team. First of all, you have to be the smartest and you have to be better than your first and your second if you're the third guy. That's the type of mentality that you have to have. Okay. So when you do get into the game and your first guy, your second guy is not performing or they're down or your number is called, this is a situation where you have to outdo them to get the spot. I don't think in a certain situation, yes, he played well. I'm all for him getting the start this week. But again, he did not overly perform. Now, if he would have won that game, guys, if he would have won that game,
right?
Okay, and performed like a starting quarterback would have, it's no doubt they would probably name the starter Monday. You know what I mean? Named him to be the starter pretty soon. But as a third guy on that roster in the quarterback situation, and it's just football sense out of anything. I don't know too much as you do with the Texans, but you have to come in and perform to the top notch level to where you've been there and you've already done it to get your spot. I don't think that happened this past weekend, but it surely did open some eyes to the fact that if Schaub is not healthy, he is going to get the start.
Well, the thing to me that's kind of lost in all the translation of the Texans' poor start at 2-5 is that there's still an opportunity to win the AFC South.
Yeah.
I mean, they still got both games against the Colts, both games against the Jags, and one of their wins is against Tennessee. So they can still win the division. So I think, you know, as frustrating as the start has been, I don't think it's time to, you know, light it on fire and start the fire sale and trading people away and seeing what you can get for them, because the season's still ahead of you. All you got to do is get in the postseason and get on a roll. I mean, the Giants know that better than anybody from a few years back. The Baltimore Ravens knew it last year, too. I mean, they struggled, got hot at the end of the season, went on to win the Super Bowl. So, I mean, there's still an opportunity to accomplish the goals that were set out at the beginning of the season, but obviously they're not taking the route that most of us had hoped they would take.
And I want you to help the listeners out and the fans out. You know, kind of give me your thoughts, you know, on this, because I have mine. But just kind of tell them, you know, the situation with Matt Schaub and why you would not trade him, or why is he still your starting quarterback? Just kind of tell us why.
Well, you can't trade him right now because of the cap situation. I mean, the contract he signed, I might be mistaken, if it was before the start of this season, or before the start of last season. The way that it's situated is the numbers would all go on to this season. If you traded him, the cap hit would, and then you'd be over the salary limit. And I was listening and reading something before. If you cut him in the offseason, I think it's a $3.5 million hit next year and a $6.5 million the following. So it's a numbers game and a money thing. And it's just right now you can't cut him. I mean, plus who else is out there? I mean, Schaub is still, even if he's your backup, he's a better viable backup.
There you go.
Number two, at least going through the rest of this season.
There you go.
Than somebody who's else out there. I mean, look at, you know, Minnesota just traded to get Josh Freeman because they're injured. Sam Bradford, you know, went down in St. Louis. So, I mean, if everybody could have a legitimate starting NFL quarterback, they would. I mean, there's only 32 of them in the game, so everybody's looking for their Tom Brady or their Peyton Manning. So they're not all out there.
Well, and if you go on SportTrack's website, okay, Matt Schaub's cap figure right now. 7.25 base, 3.5 million signing bonus. So this year his cap hits 10.75 million, right?
Wow.
But because he has three additional years with a $3.5 million signing bonus each year, if he was released right now, he would end up being a $21.25 million cap hit.
Yeah, there's your answer, Brian.
Yeah. Yes, that's probably the main reason. That is probably the main reason. But here's my deal on it as well. We're talking about Matt Schaub. Matt Schaub, guys. Okay. Now, granted, not
you know, got a noodle for an arm.
Yeah, we understand that. But he gets the job done. Okay. Now, not this season. Nothing this season tells me that. You know, as a fan,
well,
I am really frustrated.
He seemed to regress this season, though. That's the disconcerting thing, is that he seemed taking a step back. You know, everybody was talking about, well, Matt Schaub's finally got that playoff win under his belt, finally got that actual playoff experience. Now it's time for him to take that next step. Then he regresses. So that's the concerning thing.
That's a frustrating
exactly.
thing. But again, we're still talking about Matt Schaub, okay? So the name alone and what he's done over the years, you know, we can't take that away. Now, again, a team is different every single season. Okay. In the NFL, a team is different every single season. That's just the same in college football. The team is not the same. You can kind of say it's the same in the NFL just because on the professional level, you know what to expect out of certain guys and certain players. But again, a team is different every single season. So the regressing part, I completely understand and I totally agree with you. But again, I mean, this is Matt Schaub, but you don't go as crazy as burning the guy's jersey or saying, you know, he needs to be kicked off the team, go with another decision. We're still talking about Matt Schaub.
No, but I mean, there's going to be your crazy fan no matter. I mean, there's going to be that one person that makes a bad, you know, no matter what city you're in, it's going to be something like that. I mean, that was the same thing where you heard, you know, somebody went by his house. Well, You know, all of a sudden, first it was one guy, all of a sudden then it was a horde of people, and then it went back to, you know, two guys driving by yelling obscenities, and then they were gone, you know? Yeah. So there's always going to be your one nut jobs who take it a little too seriously. At the end of the day, it's still a game. It's
still football, yeah.
Very, very true. Zach, right quick, before we let you go, give us a score prediction for Tech OU.
Tech OU, ooh. I am going to be a homer, and I'm going to say the Red Raiders pull this one out. 34-28.
Hey, that's my numbers, man. Come on, I like that.
I swear we didn't talk before this. What about our boy Amaro being left off the Mackey Award list? I read a nice little article about that this morning saying Tuberville's part of the reason why that's happening.
Yeah, Tuberville. I said on the air yesterday, in my estimation, it was Tuberville or Neil Brown that turned that form in that left him off the list. Yeah. It's one of those two guys you could blame.
Yeah, probably so. And you know, all to its own. You know, you're talking about a guy that character just wasn't there at a certain particular point in the level when Tuberville and those guys were here, and that factors into a lot of that. You know, I can see that. I can see them leaving him off that name just because of character issues. You know,
well,
what I mean?
Not just that, but listing him as only a wide receiver when he was recruited as a tight end. He was listed as a tight end his first
But look how they were using him, though. They weren't using him as a tight end, you know. So that's what they're going to list him as a receiver, in my opinion. But we did talk about that. We put that on our air, you know, and he made the comment about it that, you know, hey, look, I didn't make that list. That was something that I wanted to be on, especially you hit it on the money, him being recruited out of high school as a tight end. Right. He wanted to make that list and get that type of recognition. But this dude, he said it himself, man, and he's doing so well as far as a character issue is concerned. I'm not worried about it. I'm going to play day in and day out the same way that I've been playing, you know, and possibly if it all happens, I get on that list and be able to win it. But at the same time, I don't care. I mean, I'm about to go out here and perform like I'm supposed to perform.
Shoot. He keeps playing the way he's played through the first few games this season. I mean, he may be on the Biletnikoff watch by the time he's all said and done.
There you go. And I can't wait to Eric Ward. Can't wait till he explode like he's supposed to explode. But now Davis Webb is Webb is taking over now. It's like their best friends. It's like their best friends right now.
It's like between you, me, and a few other people in the pressers over the course of the past month, bringing up the fact that with Baker, Eric was just never getting targeted, and that they had to do special plays essentially to make sure that Eric Ward had the ball thrown to him.
Yeah,
pull a little Keyshawn out. You
know? I think Baker's neck was broke looking that way, so he never could look that way. That's my boy. I got to take up for my boy Eric Ward.
Well, Zach, thanks for giving us a shout today.
Yeah, appreciate y'all having me on.
Zach, man, no, it was fun, buddy.
Yeah, give Shawnee a hello for us. And Zach Kennedy, by the way, 1560 The Game in Houston. Zach, we'll give you a shout later, okay?
Save that couch for me, too.
Good, Rob. Y'all take it easy, Brian.
Save that couch for me.
Always good talking to Zach. Talk some Texans, NFL, little Red Raiders as well.